Hi there, and welcome to another one of my podcasts. I'm starting this in the middle of December, and I'm always sort of depressed around this time because not Christmas itself, but the week after it, I have to do my income tax returns, so that's always something not to look forward to. This year it's even worse because the UK has just had a catastrophic general election. When given the chance to have elected Jeremy Corbyn, who would have sorted out so much in the realms of poverty, inequality, rents, social care, the National Health Service, all that the people seem to have cared about was the fact that Brexit, which itself is going to be a disaster, wasn't getting through Parliament. It was sort of stuck. We couldn't get it banned and we couldn't get it through. And they voted for Boris Johnson, who pretends to be an affable clown, but is in fact very right-wing and not a nice person. I know, because I've met him. He's basically a liar and only interested in himself and probably some of his rich friends. So people have voted him in, and with a large majority, which means he can't be stopped for the next 5 years. Oh well, let's not try and think about that. I've got my health after my little visit to hospital a couple of months ago, so I'm looking forward to next year at least from that point of view. Oh, something else that happened. I had a dreadful occurrence with my external hard drive, which means that all of the MP3s from which I make these podcasts have disappeared. I have a friend trying to mend the thing, but I'm not sure that it ever will be mended. Luckily, I didn't delete quite a few of the MP3s from my ordinary computer, so I've got some of them, and I've just had a new batch of 78s. So, I can produce another podcast. I'm going to begin with a lovely track of a band which perhaps should have been more famous than it was. Claude Hopkins was a black musician. Despite the fact he was born in 1903, his parents were on the faculty of Howard University, so he was obviously pretty middle class. He had a great talent as a stride piano player. He also learnt to arrange, and he left home at the age of 21 to work with the Wilbur Sweatman Band. But he didn't stay that long, and in 1985, his reputation was such that he was hired as a musical director of the Revue Nègre, which had such an incredible effect on Paris, partly because of the presence of Josephine Baker. And in the band was also Sidney Bechet. A couple of years later, he returned to the USA, basing himself in Washington, and toured the whole of the sort of black vaudeville circuit with a revue before returning to New York, and this time starting his own band. Some of the people in his band, like Edmund Hall, Jabbo Smith, whom I heard personally, Vic Dickinson, became famous themselves later on. For those 4 years, at least, he had a successful time staying at the Savoy and Roseroom ballrooms and in the Cotton Club. In 1937, he took the whole band on the road, and it was pretty successful. Whatever the reason, he broke the band up in 1940 and got some work arranging. And just for a short while, in the late 40s, he did get a little novelty band together. But from 1951 till his death in 1984, he just worked as a sideman in sort of Dixieland bands and jazz stuff of that variety. And thus it is that somehow his name has been forgotten, whereas some of the other bands, Duke Ellington, Count Basie, Chick Webb, people like that, are regarded as major names in the history of jazz. Somehow, as I say, Claude Hopkins' name, you don't hear it very much, which is a pity because he deserves more. One of the reasons that it was successful was the presence of somebody called Orlando Robertson, who had a sort of high-pitched vocal, but I'm not going to give you one of those. I'm going to give you a very nice recording that he made pretty much in the middle of his most successful period. I often say that the black bands of this period are the sort of records that I like the most, and this is a good example. What I like about this particularly, because it's more of an ensemble band piece, is the way it swings. It's got a very light but swingy rhythm section, not like the other bands, and I think it's very good, and I'm glad to say that this record is cleaned up pretty well. So let's start and cheer myself up with this recording. It does have a vocal, but from somebody called Obie Alston, not Orlando Robertson. But the main thing is just the band's playing. It's called Everybody Shuffle, and it was recorded on the 3rd of May, 1951.
Shout it, Miss Hopkins, folks don't doubt it. Everybody grab a partner now. Oh, swing for the Roseland, swing for me. Swing for the boys at 70. Everybody start shuffling now. I'll sing that. Ta-ra-ta-ra-ra-ra. Ta-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra. Oh, tick that grand until it walks out. Tick the grand until it talks out. Everybody start a shuffling now.
And now I'll leap back in all sorts of ways. That was a very good electrical recording from the 30s. This is a not such a wonderful recording from 1909. It's not so wonderful because it was recorded on a vertical groove pathé, which I have great trouble playing. And quite often all I get is crackle and a very, very trebly, no, nothing, difficult to describe, but there's no guts in it. Well, there's a bit of that in what I've managed to get out of this recording, but it's better than most, so I'm going to play it to you. There were a lot of great and near great singers 100 years ago and more, some of whom have been completely forgotten. One of these was called Michele di Padova. I hope I'm pronouncing it properly. I'm not a great expert in Italian. Pictures of him are wonderful. He has one of those amazing up-pointed moustaches that you see with Salvador Dali or maybe the Kaiser. It was obviously more of a thing in those days. I don't know much about him, except that he was born in Italy in 1863 and died in 1931, actually in Milan by then. He made his debut after studying with various people I've never heard of in 1889 at the Teatro San Carlo in Napoli, in a small part, Messenger, in Aida. But that wasn't a proper debut. And he made his real debut at the Teatro Bellini, also in Napoli, in Forza del Destino. He must have gone down very well because within 7 years, when a new opera called Tosca was coming out, he actually studied the main baritone part, that of Scarpia, under Giacomo Puccini himself. Looking at his early appearances, they were in such parts as the baritone role in La Bohème, Pagliacci, Lucia, or Baldwin Maschera, Falstaff, all sorts of Fedora, So he obviously had a wide repertoire, and he was a proper first league singer. He seemed to have stopped singing by the end of World War I, however. There's not much of him after that. And sadly, he recorded very little. I've already mentioned more than once that there's something known as, well, at least I call it, label snobbery. If you were on Phonotypia or HMV or the Gramophone Company, as it was at the beginning, then somehow you're listened to. If you were on Columbia, surely you must have been a second-class singer. I don't know why. It's not true. There are some really good singers on that label. But worst of all is if you recorded for just the vertical groove labels such as Edison or Pathé, because simply most people can't play the things. I can play them a bit, but not as well as I can normal 78s. However, I've done a reasonably good job with this particular track. So this is one of the main arias from Rigoletto. The Padova recorded this for Pathé in 1909, which means, what would he have been? 46, I mean, pretty much the height of his career, I would have thought, vocally. So, this is Michele de Padova. I've never had records of him before, till recently, and I quite like him. I'm not going to say he's one of the greats, but a really good baritone, and for once I've managed to entice some reasonable sound out of a Pathé. So I hope that you'll agree with me and listen to Michele de Padova singing Parisiamo in 1909. Now, most people know that in America they put out what they called race records. That was a series of records intended for black people, basically. New York has always been known as the melting pot, although if you go there, I don't know what it's like recently, but whenever I've gone there, there wasn't much melting going on, and the different racial groups tended to live in their own districts. There was like a black area called Harlem, there was a Jewish area, there was an Italian area, and so forth. Whereas in London, it really does melt, and nobody cares which area you live in, they're all mixed up together. You're basically Londoners. But as I say, they tended to stay in their own areas, and therefore there were other forms of entertainment, not only for black people, which is probably better known, but also for other minority groups. Molly Picon was born in 1898 in New York, but she was the daughter of Polish Jewish immigrants, and she obviously picked up, as her generation would have done, Yiddish as well as English. She was probably totally bilingual, but Yiddish really appealed to her, and as young as 6 years old, she started performing in the Yiddish theatre, a whole number of plays written in Yiddish for a Jewish or Yiddish-speaking audience, of which there was quite a lot back then. By the 1920s, she'd become so popular that some of the shows actually adopted her name, Molly, somewhere in the title. Molly does this, Molly is this, Molly is something else. And indeed, she became so successful that in 1931, she actually opened the Molly Picon Theatre. She appeared in many films, starting with silent ones, first made in Europe, Vienna, Poland, all sorts of places. Again, Yiddish films, the most famous one being Yiddle Middle Fiddle, made in 1936 in Poland. She was also on the radio, the Molly Picon program on YMCA. In English, however, she didn't really start performing till around 1940, but she appeared in the Jerry Herman musical Milk and Honey and began to appear in films in English. She had a bit part in the film, 1948 film, The Naked City, and then she got much more of a major role in 1963, playing Frank Sinatra's mother, no less. And then, of course, Yenta, the matchmaker, in the 1971 film Fiddler on the Roof. She ended up, her very final role was, of all things, playing Roger Moore's mother. So you can't say she didn't have a varied career. As I said, she was born in 1898, and she survived till 1992, so she was 94 when she died. A reasonably long life, you might say. However, it's not a name, Molly Picon, that you hear very much these days, even though she had a pretty successful career within the boundaries of what she wanted to do. As I started by saying, there were records made for different racial groups, and there was certainly a range of records in Yiddish for the Yiddish public. This one was made quite late on, around 1950 or even later, I think. And it's called Sufil, which means too much. And it's in Yiddish, which I don't speak. But just the odd word, especially if you speak German, will be understandable by any of you. And you get a feel of what she was like as a performer. So, here is Molly Picon singing Sufil.
Ich verrach het zingen, nee. Tingelei, de melodie werd vrijelig klingen, nee. Tingelei, de werd er op een vlees een ziel, nee. Tingelei, we wijzen als meer op een civiel, nee. Tingelei, civiel dalle, civiel geld. Civiel hitten, civiel geld, maar op een civiel van al ding. Pak een nord of waar je zing, hey. Mir haben sie viel Sorgen leiden, nee. Tigelei, mir haben sie viel alte Mäden, nee. Tigelei, sie viel Maluchen, sie viel Rieches, nee. Tigelei, sie viel Männer auf dem Flieches, nee. Tigelei, sie viel Eisen, sie viel Dächer, sie viel Schiefes auf dem Lecher, sie viel Essers, sie viel Kischkes, sie viel Zerdugge Fischkes, sie viel Heuch, sie viel Klein, sie viel Mies, sie viel Schein, sie viel Schmutzig, sie viel Rein, sie viel Fischen, sie viel Kleinen, nee. Tigelei, hey, 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 tigelei, hey viel Spaß aus Disney. Tickelei, ey, tickelei, zieh viel Wurzleid und Stein in Mitten, ey. Tickelei, ey, tickelei, im Roden zieh viel Literaten, ey. Tickelei, ey, tickelei, zieh viel Wurzschelten in Tappen, Tappen, ey. Tickelei, ey, tickelei, zieh viel Kleider, zieh viel Schmatte, zieh viel Häusen, da Blatte, zieh viel Lokschen, zieh viel Käse, zieh viel Menschen, sind in Erweis, zieh viel Teig, zieh viel Nacht, zieh viel Häuscher, zieh viel Lecht, zieh viel Freit, zieh viel Glück, zieh viel Machen, Fäule, Stück, zieh viel Heuer, zieh viel Klein, zieh viel Schmutzig, zieh viel Rein, zieh viel Mies, zieh viel Schein, zieh viel Fischen, zieh viel Krein, zieh viel Weiber, zieh viel Schreck, zieh am mein Sohn an Necken, ey, Tickelei, 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 ey.
Well, I mentioned Race Records, and jazz first appeared on record probably just at the end of World War I, and by the early 20s, record companies began to understand that there was a market in selling music to black people. One of the main labels for this was Black Swan, and one of the earliest of singers was somebody called Trixie Smith. She didn't have a great voice like Bessie Smith, but she was born in the South in Atlanta, and she had performed on the black vaudeville circuit known as the Theatre Owners Bookers Association, or TOBA for short. And she was, in fact, amongst the first people to use the phrase rock and roll on record, and it had definite sexual meanings when she used it. The sound recordings aren't particularly wonderful in quality, and of course they're acoustic because this is pre 25. I think this recording's around 1922, but she's another one of the very first black blues and vaudeville singers to record. She got later to record with Louis Armstrong, James P. Johnson, Freddie Keppard, the Fletcher Henderson Orchestra, etc., etc. Gradually, though, her career singing the blues sort of faded away, and she was able to earn a living by performing in cabarets and music reviews such as the New York Review, Next Door Neighbors, and other shows in Harlem. She even appeared in a short-lived 31 Broadway show, The Constant Sinner, which was a Mae West vehicle. Later on, she also appeared in films such as Birthright, God's Stepchildren, Swing, Drums of Voodoo, and The Black King. And she was also invited to perform in the famous concert called Spirituals to Swing, organized by John Hammond in 1938. Sadly, she died very young, at the age of 48, in 1943. But luckily, as I say, we have a few recordings of her. So this is Trixie Smith singing Trixie's Blues, which actually isn't a blues at all. Sorry about the sound quality, but this record was not in great condition. You rarely find early Race records in good condition. They were often played till the needle was almost going throughout the other side of the record. So this is quite good for what you normally get. You can certainly hear her, and I hope that you enjoy it.
You didn't come home till the sun was
Well, now, I'm sure I've played a track of the great Gino Becchi before, and I'm sure I will again. I recently got hold of a recording that I hadn't heard of his before, and it's an interesting coupling because on one side he's singing what was then a current sort of Italian, what we might say, pop song, and on the other side, one of the really old songs that I love called Fenesta Calocive, which Caruso also recorded. I believe it's attributed to Bellini, but I'm not sure if that's correct. In any case, it's beautiful. He sings it very well. Not quite as well as Caruso, but then who does? And Becchi, of course, born in 1913, survived till 1993, was one of the great baritones, with a sort of ping to the top of his voice that meant that he could rival a tenor when he sang with him. In fact, I discovered him when I got hold of a complete opera recording with the great Beniamino Gigli, and I found myself listening to the baritone. That's how good he was. Most of his career was in Italy. He didn't come to the UK until maybe his voice was in decline, so he wasn't as famous over here as Tito Gobbi, but if anything, he was a better singer. I don't know how he compared to Gobbi as an actor, but it was a magnificent voice, maybe the greatest of his time. So let's listen then to Gino Becchi singing Fenesta Calocive.
Calocive, mano lo,
Well, I've already spoken about various records aimed at different racial groups who lived in the USA back then. But early on, there was also a great deal of humour to be got out of gently making fun of the different archetypal habits that these various immigrant groups would show. These days, it's regarded as being definitely not a thing to do, but in those days, without really meaning any harm, I think, they just got humour out of it. In this case, the people being made fun of were German immigrants. Not Jews, but actual Germans. And the tune being used is interesting because it was also used by Irving Berlin a couple of years earlier in a track that he sang himself, apparently about a not particularly attractive, to put it mildly, German woman. So maybe this was a standard tune for depicting Germans. I don't know. I also don't know anything about the artist. I found it on the back of a Harmony record, which was a strange label with a very large spindle hole that seemed to have used Columbia recordings, but was probably a sort of cheap label that they had. I don't know what it was, and I don't know anything about this artist, who was called Morris Burkhart, or maybe Maurice Burkhart, probably just Morris. It says, and this is a sort of 1912 record, or somewhere on the internet I found a picture of him with this underneath. This young artist has gained a very enviable position among singers of popular songs. He makes a specialty of introducing new songs for the Ted Snyder Publishing Company. I've never heard of them. And has enjoyed very great success in this work. He is possessed of a most pleasing personality, and his smile has won him many steadfast friends in the charmed circle of vaudeville dom. From that, if he was a young artist in 1912, one assumes that he was born in the late 1880s, somewhere around there. And that's all I know about him. This was on the back of a record which I bought because, on the other side, one of my favourites, Ada Jones. Anyway, this is interesting. It's a song which is sort of, well, we all, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else, we all listen to the current songs that are being put out and think that the ones we used to listen to are much, much better. And this sort of makes fun of that attitude because he's listening to this new American music, beginning of ragtime, and is comparing it to what he likes, which is German music from Berlin. The name of the tune is Music, what's music must come from Berlin. And you almost have to say it with a German accent to make it work. Recorded in 1912 by Maurice Burkhart. I know nothing about it. I hope you enjoy this. And it's my final 78 of this time.
My oldest girl Anna has played the piano since she was 6 years of old age. Now when she was a baby, I thought perhaps maybe she might yet could go on the stage. But no, she's got a professor whose name is MacNessa, who knows twice as lesser as she. She plays ragtime airs till I'm getting gray hair. So I said, listen here, comes to me. Music, but music must come from Berlin, where the music, but music is played. This ragtime called music makes me sick and you sick. This ragtime called music is made by the hand. Now in Berlin, a musiker's name must be Schmidt, or anyways, Vogel or Strauss. But in this crazy land, there's a band in command of a fella named John Philip Sousa. Ach Gott. The songs in this nation are all imitation. The voice and the music is false. But oh, what a feeling when you hear them spieling the beautiful blue donut ball. Your heart gets a pleasure in most every measure. It's all about sweethearts and love. But there's something wrong, for they're singing a song. I love my wife, but oh, you kid glove. Music, but music must come from Berlin, where the music, but music is made. These songs from Salome, and you have to show me, they should finish before they should start. Jawohl, but I wouldn't mind it. The one trouble is, each time that I hear something new, it's so syncopated, as much as I hate it, I find myself singing it too. Music, but music must come from Berlin, where the music, but music is played. This ragtime called music makes me sick and you sick. This ragtime called music is made by the hand. Now in Berlin, a music of name must be Schmidt, or anyways, Wagner or Strauss. But in this crazy land, there's a band in command of a fella named John Philip South, and it's here.
So now we come to my track. And before I do so, as always, I ask you to share the link to this podcast so that lots more people can learn about the fact that there were records before 1960, before vinyl, for about 50, 60 years, in fact. And there's all that wonderful music on it, as you who listen to this podcast now know. Also, that I have a lot of doubles that I need to give good homes to, particularly if you like opera. I've got a lot of opera, which is probably my favourite stuff to listen to. By the time this goes online, hopefully I will have finished the most miserable 4 days of the year for me, which is doing my annual income tax return, and I will have gone through Christmas. We used always here in London to get the Morecambe and Wise show on TV. And some while ago, I won't bother you with the story, but a friend of mine wanted me to sing the song that was the theme tune of that variety show. They used to sing it at the end of the show every time. So I recorded literally just singing it to my computer, the very computer I'm talking into now, my sort of jazz version of a song called Bring Me Sunshine. And my friend always likes it, so I thought I'd share it with you as well. It really is very basic, just me and a guitar sort of doing a demo into this computer. But with that, I wish you a very Merry Christmas, which probably you've just had, unless, of course, you live in Russia when it's a week ahead. Well, there's 12 days of Christmas, so you may be in the middle of it still. And for those of you who are Scottish, I hope you've had a wonderful Hogmanay. And until the next time, as always, I say au revoir.
Bring me sunshine in your smile, bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there will be more happiness, so much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love. Sunshine in your eyes, bring me rainbows from the skies. Life's too short to be spent having anything but fun. We can be so content And we gather little sunbeams, be lighthearted all day long. Keep me singing happy songs. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love. Ba do day, do li ba ba do do ba do ba do bay.